the third teaching on healing, but these principles you can apply to any area of your life. Okay, the last two have been posted on the podcast, so you can go onto the website and you could listen to it again and take notes. And I'll explain to what I've given you here in a little bit. Hallelujah. But I'm going to have Rabbi Scott read, it's a Torah nugget, okay? Just up to here, up to Obadiah. Let me just say the blessing over the Torah, if I have it with me. Is that in the Bible? No, maybe it's in this one. Okay. Baruch Adonai HaMevorach, Baruch Adonai HaMevorach Le'olam Vayed, Baruch Adonai HaMevorach Le'olam Vayed, Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Banu Mechol Amim, V'naladno Et Torato, Baruch Ata Adonai Notein HaTorah. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Hallelujah.
This is a Torah portion from Genesis. We've already passed that, but
this is the annual we're
right. But this is something that Rabbi feels we should listen to, so praise Yah. On a trip back to Canaan, Jacob met his brother Esau. Jacob wrestles with the angel. Then they arrive in Shechem. Shechem, the son of Chamor, the Hivite, heir of the town of Shechem, rapes Jacob's daughter, Dinah. Dinah's brothers, Shimon and Levi, massacre the men of Shechem. Rebekah, Rivka, dies. God gives Jacob an additional name, Israel, and reaffirms the blessing to Abraham that the land of Canaan, Israel, will be given to his descendants. Rachel dies after giving birth to Benjamin. Jacob's 12 sons are listed. Isaac dies. Esau's lineage is recorded, as is that of Seir or the Horite. And lastly, the succession of the kings of Edom is chronicled. This also, if you come to the Torah study on Wednesday night, you learn fantastic things. Jacob became very frightened and distressed him. So he divided the people with him and the flocks, cattle, and camels into two camps. For he said, if Esau comes to the one camp and strikes it down, then the remaining camp shall survive. Then Jacob said, God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your land and to your relatives, and I will do good with you. I have been dismissed by all the kindnesses, by all the truth that you have done, your servant, for with my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two camps. Rescue me, please, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and strike me down. Mother and children, and you had said, I will surely do good with you, and I will make you off your offsprings like the sand of the sea, which is too numerous to count. There are a couple of things that become very obvious with the passage of the scripture. The first one is the division of Jacob's camp into two sections, which mirrors the coming division of Israel into two camps, or two houses, Judah and Ephraim. What we should take notice of here is that Jacob, who becomes Israel, is known as Jacob and will become known as Israel. Never, and I repeat, never is he referred to as Judah, which is the name and identification for the southern house or kingdom. God gave the name of Israel to the patriarch Jacob, and this name was passed on down to his family. In turn, it was passed on down to us. because we became part of the family no matter where we descended from. We can be part of Judah, and we can be part of Ephraim, or we can become part of one of these two houses and be known as Judah or Ephraim. Once united in understanding when we come from, where we come from, we become part of the overall identification as the people, nation, or children of Israel, showing our connection to Jacob or Israel. The other point that we need to keep in mind here is that we see that Jacob has not yet become the man of God that he is evolving into. This is seen by his crying out to God for help with his brother Esau. How many times have we seen this repeated in Scripture, where we see the biblical personalities crying out to God for help, and when he does, he finds it necessary to remind God of his promises or covenants to him. Do we really think that God needs reminding of what he has already promised to his people? Maybe it's the other way around, that we are the ones who need reminding of what God has spoken to us. He gives us his promises in his word, and through his word instructs us to follow his instructions, and we will receive the blessings that he promised. But we, in our infinite wisdom, have decided that God changed his mind on part of his instructions to us, and now we no longer honor him on the day he chose as the Sabbath. You know, we no longer honor him on the times of the year that he chose as his appointed times. And we have decided that it is all right to toss out any part of the Torah that we find objectionable. And then we wonder why God is angry with us. Think about it, people.
This is actually a commentary from Rabbi Mordecai Silver, who we're ordained under. But the reason why I played that, I wanted him to say it. Hallelujah.
Played it all. This is a bad recording.
No, you turned on and turned off.
Bad recording.
It's because we're talking about the covenant of healing. And God's covenant of healing is with his people Israel. Whether you are Judah, Ephraim, or the nations grafted in, you are his people. There are no second-class citizens in the kingdom of Yahweh. And because we know who we are in Messiah, it's so important to know who you are in Messiah, that you know we can take hold of those covenant promises. God knows what he's promised us. Okay, but we need to get what he promised us in our heart. And again, what I'm sharing about healing can be applied to any area in your life that you're praying about. You know, your family, job, healing, health, whatever. It's like we're basing it based upon the Word of God. Today I'm going to talk about, just continuing on, how to appropriate the redemptive and covenant blessing of bodily healing. Bodily healing is in the atonement. It's in the covenant. What I passed you out is, and we're going to look at it later, I typed up and then I wrote some more scriptures for you. These are all scriptures and promises on healing. Okay? I could teach you.
I didn't get one.
Oh, Rabbi Scott didn't get one. Hallelujah.
So I'm on the same page as
you. So what I want you to do is, and this is how, you know, I get the word in my heart. Everybody's different, but. Read these scriptures in the Word yourself. Mark them in your Bible. Then write them down. There's something about writing them down. You know, the Word commands us to write a Torah scroll. Mm-hmm. So write these promises down and start memorizing them. Start getting them in your heart. Why? Because when you're in battle, what's going to come out of your heart then? The Word. Because you've put that Word in your heart. And again, there's a lot of scriptures here, promises on healing. And, you know, again, this applies to deliverance. It applies to anything that you're standing for according to his word. And then later we're going to look at atonement through Yeshua, the inner man, the outer man. But I'm not going to, when we get to that section, but I wanted to give it to you all together. Again, what you do with this is up to you. I can teach you about healing, but ultimately it's up to each and every single one of us to apply the word to our own heart. We can give you the tools. We can say, here, you know, this will help you. But if it just gets, you know, shoved on the bookshelf and you never look at it again, it's not going to help you. It's like getting medicine. Doctor says to take take two tablets daily and you put it in the medicine cabinet and you just totally forget about it. Yah's word is medicine to us. Hallelujah. We're going to look at a lot of his promises. Elvina Mokano, our Father, our King, Father, I thank you in the name of Yeshua that you give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. Father, I just thank you that we just repent of any pride, Father, or doubt or unbelief, Father, in your promises. I thank you, Father, that we are your children, Father. We are bought with a price, Father, by the blood of Yeshua. I thank you, Father, for a healing, Father, for every person that needs healing, deliverance for everyone who needs deliverance, Father, and victory in every area of life. In Yeshua's name, amen. Again, there's three areas, and I know this by experience, and I'm sure you do too, where the enemy tries to attack us. In our finances, in our family, and in our health. Those are three key areas that you will be continually standing on the word and doing battle against him. But Yeshua says that he has already defeated the enemy. Hallelujah. He is under our feet. But again, he's given us as the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are powerful for the pulling down of strongholds. Again, we have to do that. We have to be the one to pray and intercede and believe and stand on God's word. Salvation and any other blessing, as with healing, must be received by faith. The Bible clearly teaches that it is God's will to heal until one has lived out the allotted span of his life, whether it be 70 years or more. You know, it depends how, you know, 70, 80, my mother's going to be 90 years old. You know, hallelujah. But until our work is done, I'm just believing God, I'm going to, you know, live a long life so I can do his work. Because that's what it's about. We must believe it's God's will for us to be healed. And the only way you're going to know that is to go into the Word. This should be the most precious thing that you own, is your Bible.
Amen.
This is where life, this is the whole, I mean, this is God's Word to you. This is God's promise to you. This is your most, you know, when I would think, I was thinking one day, gee, if there was ever a fire, my biggest decision was which Bible to get out of the house, you know, because I have different Bibles. Why? Because it's like,
should have one
it's
in our lockbox.
To me. Hallelujah.
One in the lockbox.
You know, but it's, again, it's this is where we find life. This is where we find salvation. This is where we find healing. This is where we find how we're to walk out a life that is pleasing to God. It's not supposed to collect dust on our coffee table. Or, you know, it should be well marked and highlighted and worn out. You know, it's like, I love this book. Why? Because it's God's word to me. The power of God can be claimed only where the will of God is known. You only know the will of God by studying your Bible, because this is where his will is, right in here. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith must rest on the will of God alone and not in our own desires and wishes. Again, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the reason why, again, I believe the Father has me teaching this to you so you know how to stand and that you just don't accept it. Except when the enemy attacks you with sickness and disease. Because if it was God's will, if you felt it was truly God's will for you to be sick, then you shouldn't go to a doctor. You shouldn't bother eating healthy because, you know, God wants you sick. Does that make any sense? No. God gave the doctors the skills to help people get well. But like I said, when we go to the doctor, we better be trusting God all the way too and praying Amen. For our doctor that, Amen. Father, give him wisdom. Right. You know, make sure, show him exactly what I need. Hallelujah. God wants his people well. Why? Because we have a job to do. Those who claim to believe in healing but say one word in favor of it and 10 words against it cannot produce faith for healing. If you're minute saying, I believe that it's God's will for me to be healed, and then 10 other times, well, I don't know. You know, maybe he doesn't want me well. Maybe he wants me to die. Maybe he wants me, you know, sick. It's like, you know, you could say, well, what about sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so? You know, they died of cancer. And, you know, I said, that's between them and God. I don't know what their situation was. I know for us, it's an individual walk when it comes to believing God for our lives. Okay? If you come to the point and you feel like, you know, Father, hey, I'm ready to go home, hallelujah. You're going on vacation until Yeshua returns. That's how I look at it. You're on vacation until Yeshua returns. But we need to be here to finish the race that God has set before us. Hallelujah. I'm going to be, you know, 60 in January. And I'm believing God that I still have a good another 20 or 30 years to serve Him.
Better say that.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And to stand strong. Abraham was strong. Moses was strong. Hallelujah. God kept His people well in the wilderness. You know, without hospitals, without, you know, doctor's offices. He kept them well. If God could do that for His people then, why can't He do it for His people now? Because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Faith is expecting God to do His will. We must pray in faith when praying for the sick. That's important. Okay, and if you come in, and again, the prayer of agreement is real important too. Yeshua says, where two or more on earth agree is touching anything. Okay, when you come up for prayer, we're believing God. When you come up for any kind of prayer or healing, we're believing God you're healed. But it's important that you're believing too, so we're in agreement. You know, if we're praying that you're going to be healed and you walk away, you know, like, well, I don't feel any better. I must not be healed. Healing is a process. Again, the word is medicine. You need to take hold of it. It doesn't matter what's happening around you. What matters is what the word of God says. Period. Already, you know, you've already used your faith for the greatest miracle of all, and that's salvation. You prayed for God to come into your life through Yeshua, and your life was changed, wasn't it? Miraculously. By faith. Everything else is part of the package. Again, until a person knows God's will, he or she has no basis for faith. His will is His word. Let's look at some scriptures. Now, these I have typed out, but they're on here. But I just want to read some scriptures, and this is what you need to be doing and getting into your heart. Exodus 15:26, and He said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do what is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." That is His promises that He's saying to His people Israel. We are His people Israel in Messiah Yeshua. It says we have a better covenant. Why is our covenant better? Because it's sealed in the blood of Yeshua. Hallelujah. Not in the blood of animals, but in the blood of Yeshua. Exodus 23:25, "And you shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee." But again, there's something that we have to do, isn't there? We need to serve God. We need to hearken to His voice. We need to be obedient to Him. Deuteronomy 7:14-15. "Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness and put none of the evil diseases of Egypt," again, Egypt being a type of the world, "which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee." Again, His promise, speaking to His people Israel, which you are. Again, that's why I had him read that particular Torah portion. Psalm 91:90-10, "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither any plague come near thy dwelling." Again, what's the key? Because we have made Yahweh our refuge. He is the one we trust. He is the one we serve. He is the one that we are hidden in. Psalm 103:1-5. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." Again, atonement for sin, atonement for sickness. "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Hallelujah. And this is just some of the scriptures. Again, I didn't give them to you all marked out, because I want you to do it. I want you to go into the Word. I want you to mark it, because there's something when you do it. Somebody just hands you something, it's like, okay, I've done the work for you. No, I gave you the scriptures. Now you do. You go into the Word, and you're going to see your life transform. Because that Word is going to get into your heart. So let's look at that, the sheet I gave you where it says the inner man and the outer man. Again, we are people that work in obedience to the Torah, not to earn our salvation, but because we love Yahweh and we are His people, redeemed by the blood of Messiah Yeshua. And the Torah has already been, it's been written in our hearts. That's why your spirit will never be in agreement with sin. Every time you're ready to make a wrong move, your spirit is not going to be in agreement with it. Your spirit is only going to be in agreement with the Word of God. So we see here, again, we see two columns. One column is the inner man, which is your spirit. And the other is the outer man, which is your body. And again, this is from the book Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. Again, these old-time preachers knew about the promises of God. Again, we don't throw away the baby with the bathwater. You know, I've been in the Word almost 40 years. And I learned a lot in the church. And some of the things I learned was about healing, about faith, about walking in obedience. And it was through that that He brought me back to the Torah. So we can't look down at people in the church because they haven't gotten hold of Shabbat yet or the feasts. But if we're not examples, you know, to Yahweh, why are they going to listen to us? It says, why should not the last Adam, Yeshua is called the last Adam, take away all that the first Adam brought upon us? Now let us consider a few gospel parallels. Adam, by his fall, brought sin into our souls. Sin is therefore the work of HaSatan. True?
Yes.
There was no sin until he fell. There was no sickness. There was no death until he fell. The outer man, the body, Adam by his fall brought sin and disease into our bodies. Disease is therefore the work of HaSatan. Yeshua went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. HaSatan, again, this is talking to believers who are walking in Messiah. Because yes, there are times when God brought judgment upon like Abimelech, and some people He allowed disease to come on them. Because of they're walking in disobedience, and they were a Gentile. But what happened to Abraham? What he prayed when he let Sarah go? So again, there are times when God will bring judgment and disease upon the enemies of God. But you are not an enemy of God. You're His child. You're His son. You're His daughter. He loves you. He has already given you the best. He gave you His son to take your place and die. Again, every single one of us should have gone through the agony that Yeshua went through. But He went through it for us. Yeshua is manifested to destroy the works of HaSatan in the soul. Yeshua is manifested to destroy the works of HaSatan in the body. Again, He redeemed us completely, spirit, soul, and body. You don't have, just like you don't have to put up with depression, emotionally, you don't have to put up with sickness and disease either. The redemptive name Yehovah Tzidkenu reveals God's redemptive provision for our souls. The redemptive name Yehovah Rapha reveals God's redemption provision for our bodies. Amen. Okay. He's just agreeing with me. On Calvary, Yeshua bore our sins. Amen?
Yes.
On Calvary, Yeshua bore our sicknesses. He was made sin for us, 2 Corinthians 5:21, when He bare our sins, 1 Peter 2:24. He was made a curse for us, Galatians 3:13, when He bore our sickness, Matthew 8:17. Who His own body bare our sins and His body on the tree, by whose stripes you were healed. Again, spiritually and physically, it's a total atonement. For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your spirit. You were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. So your spirit was bought with a price, and your body was bought with a price as well. Again, the word says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. The inner man. Is remaining in sin the way to glorify God in your spirit? No. Is remaining sick the way to glorify God in your body? No. Since he bore our sins, how many must it be God's will to save when they come to him, whosoever believeth? The word says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Salvation is there for anyone who will accept it, who will repent and bow their knees to Yahweh, say, my life is yours. I accept what Yeshua has done for me, and now I belong to you and I will serve you the rest of my life. That's what salvation is. Again, he who made him to be sick for us who knew no sickness. Since our substitute bore our sins, did he not also that we may not bear them? Since our substitute bore our sicknesses, did he not so do that we might not bear them? Messiah bore our sins that we may be delivered from them. Not sympathy, a suffering with, but substitution, a suffering for. He was our atonement. Messiah bore our sickness that we may be delivered from them. Not sympathy, a suffering with, but substitution, a suffering for. He suffered for us. He was the substitute. If the fact that Yeshua bore our sins on his own body on the tree be a valid reason why we should all trust him now for the forgiveness of our sins, why is it not the fact that he bore our sickness an equally valid reason that we should trust him now to heal our bodies? Faith for salvation comes by hearing the gospel, or Besorah, the good news. He bore our sins. You can't have faith to be saved without hearing what the word says. It says faith comes by hearing the words. Because somebody showed you what the word said, is what that word convicted you and brought you to salvation. You acted on it. Same thing for healing. Again, faith comes by hearing. Therefore, we're to preach the gospel that he bore our sins to every creature, and the gospel that he bore our sickness to every creature. Messiah promised, for the soul shall be saved, is in the Great Commission, and Messiah's promise, for the body shall recover, is in the Great Commission. Mark 16:18. We'll look at those scriptures later. In the connection with the ordinance of baptism or mikvah, again, the baptism mikvah is originated with the Jewish people, not the Baptists. Okay? It was a very Jewish thing to do, to go through a mikvah. The Bible teaches that he believeth and is baptized shall be saved. In connection with the ordinance of anointing with oil, the Bible teaches that he that believeth and anointed shall be healed. We are commanded to baptize in Messiah's name. We are commanded to anoint in the name of Yeshua. In the Lord's Supper, the wine is taken in remembrance of his death for our souls. In the Lord's Supper, the bread is eaten in remembrance of his death for our bodies. Now, for us here, we remember what Messiah did for us during the time of Passover, Pesach. That's what it's about, remembering the Lamb that died for our sins. The sinner must accept God's promises as true before he can feel the joy of salvation. The sick must accept God's promises as true before he can feel well. John 1:12-13, as many as received him were born of God, as many as touched him were made whole. Yeshua went around healing what he was operating within covenant, because healing was part of the covenant. And one of the marks of the Messiah was that he would bear our sins. He would bear our sicknesses and diseases. The only place he couldn't do any great miracles was in his own town, because they didn't believe in him. So what? They missed out, didn't they? Through atonement, sickness was healed under the law of Moses, or the Torah. You see that in Leviticus 14 and 15. And in the Torah study, we'll be getting into these things in depth, because we do the 3-year where we do little increments and we really, you know, dig into that. So if it was God's will for his people to have a way to be healed in the Tanakh, isn't it God's will for his people to be healed in the new covenant? They're still his people. Hallelujah. Yeshua healed on the ground of the atonement. God's way of saving the soul, of healing the body, and of doing everything else he wants us to do is to send his word and his promises. Everything is based on faith in his word and his promises. Anything you are believing God for, he has to be based on his word and his promises in any area of life. When we pray and intercede, we pray based upon his word. Hallelujah. And the more you say the word, I can tell you when, you know, we have intercession. And, you know, at first we're just kind of like, you know, we're saying the prayers or saying the word. But before you know it, the word's just coming out of our spirit. And we're just starting to pray and, you know, and stand and intercede because that word's already in there. And we're praying in faith, believing that God is watching over his word to perform it. Mm-hmm. Remember, too, in his timing. That's where faith and trust comes. It's, Father, I trust you that you are going to answer this prayer no matter how long it takes. You know, especially sometimes when you're believing God for your family. You know, says whatever, you know, however long it takes to stand, you stand. Because God is true. Because when another person's will is part of it, we need to pray and intercede that their will comes in line with God's will. And sometimes it can take a little time. Hallelujah. But don't give up. You keep on praying and interceding. You know, my father got saved on his deathbed. You know, but is that God's will? Would have been better if he got saved when he was younger and serving him his whole life. But that word his mother planted in him, her prayers were answered even though it was, you know, when he died. But we can't, you know, count on that we're going to have last minute to repent. Because most of the time you don't. God keeps the promise wherever it produces faith. The divine procedure in healing is stay. Let's go to Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Yeshua is known as the word, isn't he?
Yes.
He sent his word, amen, the devourer, hallelujah, and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Go to Proverbs 4:20. This is another great promise. And these are, you know, what you need to speak in the face of the enemy when he is, you know, trying to speak doubt and unbelief in your ears. Believe me, I know. It's like, because I'm just the same way. He goes, well, God's not going to hear your prayers, and you don't have enough faith. And it's like, it is written. Hallelujah. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my word. So number one, we need to pay attention to what God is saying in his word. Incline your ear to my saying. We need to hear what he's saying. Do not let them depart from your sight. In other words, we need to be studying the word. We need to be reading the word. We need to keep it in the front of our eyes. And keep them in the midst of your heart. Okay, so you see a lot of the senses are involved in this. The hearing and the sight and even the speaking. For they are life to those who find them and health to their whole body. That's God's promise. God's word is powerful. You know, I mean, it is so powerful. And his promises are true. Hallelujah. We see that Yeshua in his ministry, that he went about healing all that were sick and oppressed of the enemy. He was showing God's will for his people. Again, walking in covenant, you know, the woman that had the issue of blood, the man that was paralyzed, you know, he healed them. Why? Because they belonged to God. They were God's children. Are we God's children? Is Yeshua still alive? Yes, he is. Hallelujah. He's just as alive when he was walking the earth. He's not hanging on some cross on a wall.
Amen.
We serve a living Redeemer. If you don't believe that, then you're not saved.
Right.
Okay, you need to believe that he's alive and he is active. And you know what he's doing right now? He's interceding at the right hand of the Father for us. Because he knows the battles we're going through. And he said, when I return to earth, am I going to find faith? What is it? Am I going to find covenant faithfulness? Am I going to find people that are believing my word and that are serving me and not compromising on my word? Again, there's something that we need to do. Hallelujah. A little blessing. Number two, it's important that you are right with God when seeking healing for our bodies. There should be no compromise with the adversary of your souls because he is the author of disease. So when we get in prayer, we say, Father, search my heart. You know, again, we need to be right with the Father. Again, this is something only you can answer. I can't answer this for you. If you come to me, you know, or Rabbi Scott or somebody
Psalm
say, 51. You know, that's a good one. Just you can read it in a second. You know, it's like, why isn't God answering my prayers? Well, you know, you need to get before the Father and say, Father, is there something in my life I need to repent of? Because that's something only you and the Father knows.
That's right. That's right.
We need to, you know, make sure that there's nothing that comes between us and the Father. Mm-hmm. And that means daily repenting.
Yep.
Especially what comes out of here, our mouth. Our mouth gets us in trouble every time. Because what? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You want to know what's in your heart? When you're under pressure, you're going to know exactly what's in your heart because that's what's going to come out of your mouth. If you've put that word in your heart and the pressure cooker of life comes on you, the word's going to come out of your mouth. But if you haven't put that word in you, what's going to come out? Fear, unbelief, you know, grief, depression. Why? Because you haven't hidden yourself in the word. Again, it's something you have to do. You know, we can say, here, this is what, you know, this is what the word says. We give you the word. God gives us things to put on our heart to share with you. But you have to take it and make it yours. Okay? I'm going to read Psalm 51. Actually, this is a scripture we use for our mikvah, our repentance services.
This is David wrote this, and he's crying out to God, and he's saying, be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sins. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before you, before me. Against thee only I have sinned, and done what is evil in thy sight. So remember that. And that thou art justified when thou dost speak. So if he condemns you for what's in your heart, he's justified. And blameless when thou dost judge. We're all going to be judged. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being. And in the innermost part, thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O Yahweh. Renew a steadfast spirit within me, and do not cast me away from thy presence. Do not take thy Ruach HaKodesh from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted to thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O Yahweh, the Elohim of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of thy righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare thy praise. For thou dost delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. Dost not delight in sacrifice. Thou art not pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise.
Okay, so the good news is in 1 John, what does it say? 1 John 1, 9 and 10. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. So again, if we confess, he is faithful to cleanse us. And once he cleanses us, you don't have to keep on condemning yourself if you truly repent. Okay? But again, that's something we have to do individually. We all have an accountability to hear his word, study his word, believe his word, pray, intercede. This is a quote. Our first consideration in all things, even for asking for the restoration of bodily health, should be for the glory of Yahweh. Everything we do should be for his glory, whether it's our job, you know, our home, you know, healing, whatever, it should be for his glory. You know, I like what Pat had shared one time about a nun she used to know, that her prayer would always be for thy kingdom and thy glory. And that's what our prayer should be, for your kingdom and your glory, Father. Hallelujah. Let's go look at James 4:7. Again, this doesn't just pertain to bodily healing. It pertains to if depression's trying to attack you. You know, chemical imbalance. You can stand against that in the name of Yeshua. Mm-hmm. You know, bipolar or any of those things. That's part of healing as well. That our body has to come, you know, in the name of Yeshua, has to come in line. Because that's the enemy trying to rob you, trying to cripple you, thinking, well, this is, you know, how I am, and I can't, you know, get free from it. Yes, you can in the name of Yeshua. But again, it's up to you to believe. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist HaSatan, and he will flee from you. We need to submit, number one, our lives to Yahweh and his word, and resist the enemy when he comes. The same way Yeshua resisted the enemy. Read Matthew 4. How did he resist him when the enemy was trying to tempt him with the word, gave him the Torah? Because the enemy will always misquote. Did you notice how many times he misquoted the word to Yeshua? And he said, no, it is written. And he gave the word right back to him. We have to resist. It says, and he will flee from you. We resist in the name of Yeshua and with his word. Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 37.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I hope it right to it.
There you go. Because one of the things you're going to have to stand against is the spirit of fear. You know, when the enemy tries to bring you a bad report, you know, and you want to react in fear, you got to counteract that with the word of God. Because Yeshua says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of peace, power, and a sound mind. Look up, I mean, what do you tell Joshua? Fear not. What do you tell Israel? Fear not. Because fear is lack of faith and trust. Fear is putting faith in the devil, HaSatan. That's why it doesn't please the Father. Psalm 37. Where am I? Verse 4. Let's begin with verse 3. Trust in Yahweh and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. So here, we need to trust him. We need to do good by being obedient to his word. And we need to cultivate faithfulness. Okay? Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. When you delight in him, his desires become your desires. You desire, all of a sudden, he gives you the desire to walk out his will in your life when you delight in him. And also when you delight in him, you know, because he sees your faithfulness. He sees your obedience. He sees that you are doing the best that you can to walk in obedience to his word. Sometimes just that little desire of your heart, he'll just bless you with. You know, it'll just come out. It'll be nothing that was maybe on your prayer list that you've been really believing God for. He'll just bless you with it. Why? Because you're delighting in him. Commit your ways to Yahweh. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in Yahweh and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out his wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil doing. So we need to stand against anger and wrath, because it'll hinder our prayers. Again, if our prayers aren't answered, it's not the Father not answering it. It's us. We need to constantly walk. Again, the Torah is about walking a holy, set-apart life. Okay, it's not about, you know, all this head knowledge and, you know, who has the newest teaching and, the newest revelation. It's about how his people are to walk out a holy life in an evil, sinful world and be lights to the world. Amen. So Yeshua said, you are the light of the world. Light casts out darkness. Light draws people. And our life is to bring glory to the Father in every area of our life, in every attitude. You know, again, our attitude's right. You know, a lot of times we think, oh, it's the big sin. But, you know, God, again, is looking in our heart, our attitude. You know, do we joyfully give to him or do we give grudgingly? You know, do we joyfully serve him? When it's, you know, the women are teaching the kids. Are we doing it with joy and with the attitude is, wow, what a privilege to be able to teach these kids, to be able to teach them God's word? Or is there, oh, I guess it's my turn this week to do the kids. I mean, you know, we've had people that, you know, we want them to help out. I've raised my kids. It's like, well, fine, you know what, then we don't want you with the kids. You know, but again, is that a right attitude? Is that a servant's attitude? You know, our hearts should be, Father, what do you want me to do? And I will do it with joy unto you. Even if that means just going around and vacuuming or throwing out the garbage or bringing something for Shabbat. You know, if you're faithful in the little things, then he'll make you faithful in much. You have to be faithful in little first. Then he will make you faithful in much. Again, I've been involved in ministry for 40 years. He didn't put us in this position overnight. Again, we had went through a lot of training. Hallelujah, and proving our faithfulness to him. We served others before we were ever put in a position of leadership. We served other ministries gladly. I was thrilled when they asked me to teach a class. You know, I was like blessed when they asked me to be on, you know, the board or be on, you know, in leadership position. And I did it not to get recognition, because, you know, promotion is from Yahweh. You be faithful with him, he will promote you. And he will give you favor with who you need favor with. Again,
good thing that we weren't giving it all in the beginning. Then you walk around with your head so big that no one could teach you anything.
We have to cultivate faithfulness. Exodus 15:26. Does it mean we always did things perfectly? No.
That's how you learn.
It's like, but, you know, when we fell down, we got back up and we kept on going. We didn't give up. We didn't say, oh, you know, well, forget this. You know, this doesn't work. No, we got up. It's like, Father, I must have missed your will. You know, I'm just going to keep on going forward with you. There's going to be plenty of times where you're going to fall flat on your face.
Yep.
But you know what? You just get up, dust yourself off, and say, okay, I'm keeping on going forward. I learned something from this experience. You know, it's all a part of growing up spiritually.
Yeah.
Here we see in Exodus 15:16 where Yahweh purifies, provides water and purifies it again. Do we have the same thing that happened in the wilderness? And we looked at this at the last Torah study with the plagues and with the wilderness. It's going to happen in the end times. But God was able to provide water in the middle of a wilderness. Hallelujah. We need to learn how to believe God for the miraculous and not walk in fear. Then Moses, begin verse 22, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And they came to Marah, which means bitterness, and they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Then he cried out to Yahweh, and Yahweh showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. There he made for them a statute and regulation, and there he tested them. You know, it came to my mind, he threw a tree, and the waters became sweet. That tree is a tree of life. The tree of life makes our bitter waters sweet in Messiah. But again, he was testing them. There was a time, are you going to pass some of the tests you're going through? And the tests aren't because God is, you know, is playing games with you or he's, you know, some mean God. It's so he wants you to grow up in him. Mm-hmm. He wants to see, are you truly going to trust me? Are you going to believe my word even though the waters seem bitter right now? And he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of Yahweh your Elohim and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I put upon the Egyptians, for I am Yahweh your healer, or I am Yahweh your physician, your doctor, your psychiatrist, your psychologist, whatever you need, he's that for you.
Yes.
But again, we need to give heed to his voice. And if he was willing to do that, again, for his people in the wilderness, is he stopped doing that for his people now?
No.
No. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Again, God's promises are to the obedient. Read Deuteronomy, study Deuteronomy 28. A lot of times, let's go to Deuteronomy 28. People skip the first verse. If you notice that a lot of times when people quote this scripture in Deuteronomy 28, they skip the first verse.
That's the key.
Oh, yeah.
They go right to, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. But they forget to go up to the very beginning. It's now it shall be if you diligently obey Yahweh your Elohim.
Yeah.
Being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, Yahweh shall set you high above all the nations of the earth. In other words, God's going to set you apart. You are going to stand out. How are you going to stand out? Because God is going to provide for you. He's going to be your healer. He's going to be your protector. And then all these blessings shall be come upon you and overtake you if you obey Yahweh your Elohim.
Yes.
God's already given us his promises. And he hasn't given us anything hard to do. You know, he says, I'm not telling you to do something that you aren't capable of doing, and that's obeying me. Basically, that's what it boils down to. You know, it talks about that every area of your life, you will be blessed. But then we see 15 all the way to verse 68, we see the consequences of disobedience. But it shall come about if you will not obey Yahweh your Elohim to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I charge you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. And if you look at all these curses, it means you'll be cursed. Your house will be cursed. Your food will be cursed. Your jobs will be. Nothing you do will prosper. But God says, if you obey me, I want to bless you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father, for your healing. Thank you for your blessings, Father. You know, the Father loves us.
There's more curses than blessings.
Again, if you will listen to the commandments, and he's already, Yeshua, paid the price so that we don't have to be under the curse, the curses for being disobedient. We can walk in the blessings. But just because we're a Messiah doesn't mean we no longer have to obey. You know, that, oh, we're under grace, you know, so, you know, God understands if I don't obey. God is still walking according to his, we are still walking according to his Torah. Okay, written in our heart. Yes, we have the grace of Messiah Yeshua, but that doesn't mean we don't have to obey him. Again, there are consequences of disobedience, and they do not change. Does it mean God doesn't love you? Yes, he loves you. You know, again, our example of our children. You know, we train, if they're obedient to us, you know, if they obey our voice and say, hey, we got rules in our household that have to be followed, you know, and they obey those rules, there's peace in the house. And you're going to bless your kids. You're going to want to bless your kids. But when they break your rules, you can't bless them when they break your rules.
Right.
And say, oh, that's okay. You can break the rules. No. Because you're teaching them that it's okay to disobey God then. Hallelujah. We need to be cleansed every day through the blood of Yeshua. And, you know, keep those doors shut to the enemy in our life. Again, you know, we live in probably a more toxic world than we ever have been before. But God says that you shall drink any deadly thing.
But not just physically toxic.
Right. He says you shall drink any deadly thing and it won't harm you. Mm-hmm. You know, today there's a lot of deadly things. But, you know, we believe God, Father, you know, if you eat something in ignorance, we can believe God that, you know, it's not going to harm me. We don't have to walk in fear. Don't allow fear to rule your life. You know, a lot of people make a living selling books to generate fear.
Yep.
You know, because it sells books. You know, like, oh, you know, the horrible things that are coming upon the earth. Yeah, they are coming.
Yep.
But you know what? You are his people.
He'll make
you
a way.
You are his kids. You know, again, God's wrath is for those, the sons of disobedience. God's healing, his blessings are for God's children, you.
Just like what we studied this past week.
Amen.
It's all going to come back again. All the curses will be back.
Okay, asking for healing while refusing to be led by the Spirit is like asking a carpenter to repair the house and then refusing to let him into the house. Yes, Father, I want you to repair me, but you know I don't want you messing in my life. You know, just heal me. You know, we looked at that example with at Torah study Thursday Wednesday night with Pharaoh. You know, God would bring the judgment. Pharaoh would be like, okay, I repent, okay. And then when the judgment was lifted, he was right back to where he was. Isn't it people of the world? You know, a lot of times it's like they only want God when they have a problem.
Jam, right.
You know, when things are going right. And then God, out of his grace and mercy, will answer their prayer and deliver them, and then they go right back to where they started. You know, yeah, get the devil out of my life, but I don't want to be obedient to you. It don't work that way.
After a while, he won't do it.
You have to be willing and obedient. I love this. Faith always blows the ram's horn before, not after, the walls are down. Okay? When they you know, walked around Jericho, those walls didn't come down until they did what God told them to do, to blow the shofars. And then those walls came down.
But they did it out of faith.
It is evidence of things not seen, but promised. Faith rests on far more solid ground than the evidence of the senses if it is based upon the Word. Because the Word of God lives and abides forever. Again, when Noah built the ark, did he wait for the water? Or did he obey God and say, no, you build the ark now. Okay, I don't know, you know, understand why I'm building this ark, but you said that there's a flood coming. And even though I don't see it, I believe you. So for 120 years, he was building this ark. And again, this ark was a warning to the people. Judgment's coming. And people just walked at it and they mocked him. But, you know, eventually judgment came and the waters came just as God said they would. The reason why God chose Noah, because he was a man of faith and obedience. Again, look at Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of Yahweh, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Hallelujah. When I looked up that definition one time, I think it was, I can't remember what it was, but it just really, was the assurance of things hoped or the conviction of those not seen. Do you realize that everything here is made of things not seen? You think of it, God spoke all these elements, you know, into existence through his word.
Yeah, they're hard.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Again, if you see, study all of Hebrews 11, God has called us to be people of faith. And I want to read you a few more scriptures here. Just listen. I just want you to listen, okay? Psalm 107, 19 to 21. Then they cry unto Yahweh in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise Yahweh for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Psalm 118, 17. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of Yahweh. That needs to be our confession. That why? So we can declare the works of Yahweh.
Amen.
So we could be voices in a world that is, you know, falling to the enemy every day. But we can be voices. Proverbs 4, I read 20 to 24. Isaiah 41, 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You know, God knows how to give us supernatural strength in the time of trouble. God knows how to give us supernatural peace and shalom when the enemy tries to shake our faith. You know, there's sometimes, you know, I could be in the hardest battles, but I've got that peace and that shalom, knowing that it's going to be okay. That's why it's important for you to keep a remembrance book, write down what the Father has done for you. So when the enemy tries to put doubt, you know, and unbelief in you, you remind yourself of God's faithfulness, that he is faithful. He never said that our life was going to be easy, but he said that he would give us victory through it. Isaiah 53, 4 to 5, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Jeremiah 1:12. Then Yahweh said unto me, thou hast seen well, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Jeremiah 30:17. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith Yahweh, because thou wast called an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whose no man seeketh after. Joel 3:10. Beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Nahum 1:9. What do you imagine against Yahweh? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. Here we see Yeshua. Mark 11, 22, 24, and Yeshua answering them said, have faith in Yahweh. For verily I say to you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And of course, we know in context, in accordance with his will and his word. But again, it says not doubt in your heart. Okay? You can have doubts up here, but you don't want to have doubts here. Because usually when you have doubts up here, it's because you haven't been in the word enough to renew your mind with the word. Romans 6:10-17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in Yahweh and the power of his might. Our strength is in him and in his power. Put on the whole armor of Yahweh that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And when I studied this years ago in the Greek, it's actually in the form of a command. God is commanding you to put on that armor and not take it off. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of Yahweh, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Now, when you study the Torah, and you're studying these pieces of armor, you can see it's the picture of the high priest. Hallelujah. again, this is a person who is girded. These are your prayer, your intercession clothes. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherever you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. So we are to be on guard, intercession every day. And praying again, if you ask somebody for prayer, you better be sure that they believe the Word of God. And that they, if you're, you know, asking somebody to agree for you with healing, for healing, you better be sure that they agree that it's God's will to heal you. So you need to be picky about who you ask agreement and prayer for. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Messiah Yeshua. So when you, again, are a person of prayer and you are standing on the Word, He's going to give you the peace that passes all understanding. And He will keep your heart and your mind secure and safe in Him. Hebrews 10:35-38, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which is great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry, regarding Yeshua's return. Now the just shall live by faith, and if any man draws back, my soul shall not have pleasure in him. The only thing that pleases the Father is faith and obedience and trust in Him. Again, we read Hebrews 1:11. James 5:14-16. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, or the kahila, and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of Yahweh. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and Yahweh shall raise him up, and if he committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Hallelujah. Again, I gave you all these, again, these sheets of scripture. Again, what you do with it, that's up to you. But I'm giving you tools to go through that word. You need to get this in your heart before something happens.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so you're not, you know, so you're in faith to stand, you know, to stand for your healing. Hallelujah. Or for any, again, this goes for any area of your life in praying, when you're praying. You know, not just physical healing, emotional healing. Wounded souls. There's a lot of people that have wounds, emotional scars. Yahweh can heal those just as well as He can heal the body. Hallelujah. He may show you, give you wisdom on, you know, right things to eat. Again, God's the one who gave the herbs and the healing food out there. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you think they used back in the Tanakh? You know, they used herbs and, you know, different, you know, foods that helped heal the body and keep them strong. But ultimately, we're still trusting Him for our healing. Hallelujah. Elvina Mulcano, our Father, our King. Father, I praise and thank You, Father, for Your healing promises, for Your covenant of healing in Your Word, Father. Father, I thank You that we make a commitment to hide this Word in our heart, Father, to diligently study it, Father, to love Your Word, Father, to love You with all our heart, soul, and being, Father. Father, I praise You and thank You, Father, that every single one of us here in this congregation, Father, will live out our lives to the fullness, Father. Father, that we would walk in divine health, Father, in the name of Yeshua. That we